If you go back and look at the history of Hollywood movie directors, it is interesting to note where they started their careers. It is interesting because it tells you what art form was feeding the Hollywood machine. For instance, in the earliest days right through to the 1950s, it was not unusual for a film director to have started out in theatre. By the late 1950s, theatre had been superseded by that emerging industry, television. Then in the 1970s, a host of British directors who had all begun making commercials leapt from the small screen to the big screen. By the late 80s, it was pop videos. And I can only presume that a few years from now, a lot of directors will emerge from YouTube. For the time being, though, we seem to be at the late stage in the cycle that started with MTV. And perhaps the most notable exponent of the style is Michael Bay.
It looks like your distributor cap's a little loose.
Yeah? How'd you know that?
My dad, he was a real grease monkey. He taught me all about this. I could take it all apart, clean it, put it back together.
That's weird. I just wouldn't peg you for mechanical.
Well, you know, I don't really broadcast it. Guys don't like it when you know more about cars than they do. Especially not Trent. Hmm. He hates it.
Yeah, no, I'm cool with, females working on my engine. I prefer it, actually.
Born in Los Angeles in 1965, Bay studied English and film in Wesleyan University, Connecticut. Within a fortnight of graduating, he was making commercials, and over the next decade, he developed a reputation for his visual precision. From pop videos for Tina Turner and Meatloaf to award-winning commercials for Coca-Cola, Nike, and Reebok, it was inevitable that Michael Bay would one day make feature films. So far, he has directed 9, and they keep getting bigger.
It's an asteroid, sir.
How big are we talking?
Sir, our best estimate is 97.6 billion.
It's the size of Texas, Mr. President.
Yes, sir.
Dan, we didn't see this thing coming.
Well, our object collision budget's $1 million. That allows us to track about 3% of the sky.
And begging your pardon, sir, but it's a big-ass sky.
And the ones this morning?
Those are nothing. They're the size of basketballs and
Volkswagens, things like that.
Is this going to hit us?
We're efforting that as we speak, sir.
What kind of damage are we?
Damage? Total, sir. It's what we call a global killer. The end of mankind. Doesn't matter where it hits. Nothing would survive, not even bacteria.
When he was 13, Bay laid down the tracks for his train set, carefully positioned some firecrackers to blow up the train, and then, just as carefully, positioned his mother's 8mm camera to film it all. Now let's go through that again. Bay was 13 when he did that, and he did not do that out of boredom. He did it not to be destructive, but to be creative, to capture the moment the train transformed from its original state into an improvised catastrophe. Bay's films has so far grossed over $4.5 billion worldwide, yet he and his films are deeply despised. Why? Well, he is not without his flaws, and they are very big. He doesn't have much regard for women. His female characters are usually shrill, verbally limited, and confined to very small outfits. When not working with Will Smith, he appears to have a similar attitude towards minorities. Often more than just offensive, non-white men are subjected to stereotyping and appear only for comic relief. Also, he peddles a brand of hokey cliché that is hard to swallow.
Miss Tamper? Colonel Willie Sharp, United States Air Force, ma'am. Requesting permission to shake the hand of the daughter of the bravest man I've ever met.
But look beyond those gaping fault lines, and you should be able to appreciate just how unique a vision Bay has. He tells stories in a highly non-verbal manner, and they are clearly told because he designs his frames with great lucidity. That is difficult because Bay prefers to move the camera and keep it moving. And at the moment of maximum movement, he pulls the other way and gives us shots in slow motion. He loves to flare the lens and always deploys intense colour saturation, bringing a very vivid temperature to the image. That image is divided into not 3 sections like most other mere mortals. No, Michael Bay puts 9 sections into the frame. Right, left and centre, and then front, middle and back. And it takes a very special eye to be able to arrange the information so that the eye can pick up and register the crucial data in the very few short seconds the image is on screen. Now add to that Dolby Stereo, which with its 5.1 sound design goes left, centre and right, and left surround and right surround, plus low frequency effects, and then you realise that the pictures are painted with sound. What Michael Bay orchestrates is not madness and mayhem, it's meticulous. So if you care for cinema, try to embrace or at least acknowledge its many forms, and you just might be open-minded enough to reconsider Michael Bay. I consider him an artist, yes. If Bay were not a Hollywood director, if he were, say, a conceptual artist who delivered site-specific work or video installations, he would be lauded as a genius, an incisive chronicler of our disassembling times. But Bay isn't, so he's not. Instead, he's considered a brat who has never stepped out of his playpen. Well, that brat has won every accolade available to directors of commercials, including the Clio and the prestigious Directors Guild of America Award. No, I think Michael Bay is the cinematic equivalent of, say, the great American abstract expressionist painter Jackson Pollock. If you don't know who Jackson Pollock is, Google him, and you will see image after image of paint that was splashed across very wide canvases. Jackson Pollock was not interested in figurative painting. He was interested instead in conveying an idea, an energy, a sense of turmoil. Now, with that in mind, go back and reconsider Michael Bay. If you go looking for narrative coherence, character development, and profound themes, you're wasting your time. That is not what his films are about. They are about visceral action, elevated and distilled to the point of abstraction. Here he is talking about filming in 3D.
I always have foreground, midground, background in all my shots. And that's just how I've done it my whole life. And so it really fit very natural how I was shooting. And it was just great to sculpt with space.
That's a great definition of a Michael Bay film. Space, color, movement, and sound all collected into a riveting collage to convey frenetic energy and atomic chaos. If you watch the special features on the DVDs for any of his films, especially the Transformers series, you will see the amount of real-time live explosions involved. For each of those pyrotechnic orgies, Bay regularly deploys 4 to 5 cameras to cover the impact, and each angle is chosen to always bring a beautiful harmony to the world he is about to destroy. That is his singular gift. And I say it as singular because no one does what Michael Bay does in the way that Michael Bay does it.